Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah with Allah Ta'ala's blessings, mercies, with His grace. We attain the first fast of Ramadan, and Allah Ta'ala, may He in the same way with His fadl, with His karam, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq for the rest of Ramadan with afiyah, with health, and with iman, with belief. Now, this ibadah that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given to us, Ramadan, the fast, keeping the fast, this is full of hikmah and wisdom. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, through this action of fasting, has given an ajeeb message to insan, to the human being. If we see that the whole year our nourishment, or you could say energy that we give to our body, eating, drinking, and to feed the body with good things, and the body continues to function and perform, but we don't recognize this point, that we don't just function off the body, but rather our soul is with us also. And we have discarded and ignored our ruh, our soul. We don't even know that we have a ruh, we have a soul, and we just concentrate on the body. And for the body, we have emphasis and we hold it in esteem, and we try hard for the body as much as we can. But practically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has demonstrated this to us, that our hal now, at the moment, our body, after this one fast, is that only a few hours have passed, 14, 15, or however many hours have passed, and we have not fed our body, have we? And the body didn't get any water or fluids or bread or roughage. And what is our hal? Every man, even the tallest and the strongest and the bodybuilder, everyone will be exhausted at this moment in time. Somebody will be feeling a bit dizzy, somebody's heart will be feeling bad, somebody will be feeling a little bit hungry. And what's happened? Only 12 hours out of 24, you've not given water to your body. You've not given any chapati or bread or apples or bananas. So, your body, did it assist you at that time? Did it? No. It sort of diminished in it in terms of helping. Said, please, be gone, you've not fed me. And you want me to work now? And to give you more output? And the person was strong, powerful, 14 hours he used to drive his taxi. Now it's hard for him. He sits in his taxi, but the body says, no, I've not eaten today, so let's work a little bit less. And when you go to work, the poor soul, and he's got his computer and his PC in front of him, the system's there, and he's sitting there looking at the screen and yawning, and the body saying, leave this work, can't work as many hours as normal. So practically we see that we just for some hours have not fed or given fluids to the body. Look at the hal, the body is starting to say no to us or leave us, not help us. So we see that the friendship of our body is with us, the friendship of our body is with us. That it, for example, wants to have a clash with us. The same wife, for example, and children, when our stomach is hungry, we are nice and with each other. But now the stomach's empty, there are arguments at home, there's friction at home, the temper increases, and they start arguing over minor things, little things. So look at this now. Look at this factor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that insan, oh human being, if you think now for 12 hours, 14 hours, you didn't feed your body, your stomach, and energize your body, and look at your hal now, the body has left you, it's not assisting you. And but Allah ta'ala says, your ruh, which is your eternal mate and partner, and in the akhirah, the ruh will assist. Through the ruh, you will go into paradise. Through the ruh, progression, you will get progression in the hereafter. Open your eyes and look, how do you treat your ruh all year long? How we treat our ruh, our soul. Let's justify now. As I said, there's two parts to the body, the physical body and the soul, the spiritual. So after 12 hours, we haven't eaten and our bodies have left us. They don't help us. And when we are buried in the grave, what will happen? Insects will come and devour the body. The red ants will come and crawling over the body. They'll start eating away, and other animals will come and they'll devour the skin and the flesh. But the daimi, eternal assistant who will give us friendship in hereafter, will save us from the adab of the grave of the day of Hashr and assist us in crossing crossing the bridge of Sirat and it will save us from the fire of Jahannam. How do we treat our soul who will assist us through all of these phases? So what do we hope for in the hereafter? What's our expectation from our ruh? That with our ruh we think we will go into paradise, the ruh that we have now. With this ruh, we think we will be safe from the adab of the grave. Have we fed the ruh lunch? Have we ever given breakfast to the ruh? Lunch to the ruh? Drink for the ruh? Have we ever seen the ruh is weak? Or let me get some medicine, go to the doctor. Have we ever listened to the ruh's demands? To our soul? Our soul, have we fed it, energized it? But we're just worried about the body. Quickly, prepare some food, put some food in my mouth. Some people want water or fluids. Other people who are really worshipping their body, they leave fasting. Those who love their bodies, they don't even fast. And for us to understand this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so much reward for fasting to attract us. Allah ta'ala says, okay, at least they will come and fast. I'll give them some greed that these are the big rewards for fasting. Such a big reward Allah ta'ala has set aside for us. If there's a bigger reward for something, then understand Allah ta'ala is trapping us in some action because we are weak. And Allah ta'ala by force wants to bring us towards this amal. So before dying, Allah Ta'ala is making us aware. Allah says, give them greed. They're greedy people. They run off money. Financial profit. Their meters run off money. The human being. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you keep the fast, this much thawab, reward, you'll get this and that. So Allah says, let's trap these human beings, at least so they can understand that our ruh is so weak and we need to nourish it. So Allah Ta'ala is bringing us through rewards. Now our ruh, for example, it is deceased, passed away. Where will the ruh take us? How will the ruh answer? How will it give the answer that my deen is Islam? How will the ruh recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the grave? That if the body, when we feed our body and we haven't then fed it for a day and it says, sorry, I can't work today. I'm tired. You haven't fed me. You can be free today. Just lie down in your bed and be quiet. And 14 hours your ruh makes you go asleep. Yeah, that I cannot do any work for you now. Sorry, the hands are not going to work. Just go down and lie down. Go to sleep. Have rest. Fulfill your sleep. Is this not what's happening during fasting? Isn't it? A person sleeps a little bit extra, isn't it? Because the body's a bit weaker and there's no food or nourishment or energy. Allah Ta'ala says, have aqal, use your wisdom, your brains, become a true insan, human being, and give food to your ruh. Your ruh will assist you. Your ruh, your soul will elevate you. If you give energy to your soul, you give one apple to your body, give 10 apples to your soul. Keep your body hungry, doesn't make any difference. But if your ruh gets strengthened, look at Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, who had a strong soul. Look at Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu anhu. Look at these great personalities. Look at their lives and how they affected people positively. But they didn't even know what was an apple or a banana apart from dates that they had. There were so many vitamins in the dates. Taste. They didn't even know that was there any other fruit in the world. What's an orange? What are the vitamins, etc. But 124,000 Sahaba, that Allah Ta'ala took the work of the deen from them until Qiyam, until the Day of Judgment. No other group of people can compare or implement the actions equivalent to them. So what was the reason? Because their ruh, their soul was very strong, that the whole day in the extreme heat, intense heat, they used to do mujahidat for the sake of the deen. And in the night, they used to remember Allah through the night. There used to be sujood, prostration, Quran, recitation. This is the difference. We rear our nourish our bodies. The body doesn't even let us go towards salah. We emphasize on our bodies, beautifying our bodies. The body doesn't allow us to go to buhur. And it makes us fight and quarrel with other people. And shaitan overcomes the body. Shaitan and jinn always are influencing us. Because there's no strength in the soul. How do we save ourselves from the jinnat and evil and darkness and magic, etc.? All of these evil, wretched things. That what can oppose these things? The body won't fight them. The jism, the body, it says to us, come, my eyes invite, come, do zina. Commit adultery. And the tongue says, come, lie. And the hand invites to come and implement horrible and evil and sinful actions using me. But the ruh, the soul will stop a person doing wrong. The ruh, ya Rabbi. Allah Ta'ala says that the ruh, the soul, has been created from Allah's aman, from peace. No one can define this. Nobody can define really the Arabic word of ruh. Allah Ta'ala says there's no definition. It's just made from Allah's aman. The people ask this question, didn't they? Now what is the ruh? Allah Ta'ala said that, my Habib, tell these people, how can you recognize your ruh? Just recognize that this ruh is made from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is behind the creation of the ruh. From the soul. There are millions of people, you can see that they are dead. their ruh is gone. We see their lives, we look at their bodies, what have they achieved, they're tall, they're powerful, he is this and that, he's got status, finances, etc. We look at physical, external features. But Allah Ta'ala says the body will be finished after a person dies. It will rot away. And for example, let's take a painting. You make a nice painting, a portrait, and there are trees, vegetation, waterfalls, and it's a painting. There's no ruh in there, is there? No soul. It's not moving. The flower will look very nice. The rose, bunch of roses. When you smell that bunch of roses, there's no smell in there. Why is there no smell, fragrance? Because there's no ruh in the bunch. In the same way, we are in the same situation. That when the angels don't come to us, shayateen come to us, there's no ruh in this person. There's no soul in this person. So where will the fragrance come from? And when we pay attention to our ruh, then Allah subhanallah says that the smell that comes from your mouth whilst you're fasting is the greatest fragrance. Subhanallah, because we're emphasizing on our soul. Allah says, not a stench. It's not a bad smell. You've given food and nourishment to your ruh, to your soul. So that smell that comes out of your mouth, a fasting person, it is not a bad smell. It is not a bad smell. Allah Ta'ala loves that smell more than anything else. No smell, no scent, no fragrance in the world can compare. So this is the message that we should understand, that don't just think the fast is a fast for the sake of it. Rather, we should think that the body is not assisting us now. There's no food or nourishment. So because we are wretched, we have to understand the soul will assist us. We are wretched in the dunya. We can't do ibadah properly. We can't attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness properly. Allah Ta'ala's qurb, this dunya khabis, is not coming out of our hearts. That it's not coming out of our hearts. That the bad actions and the bad effects are not ending. And the reason for this is because our ruh is weak. Our spirit is weak. Today, we give it a bit of strength. The body has left us. So what will we eat? Yes, we are fasting. We can't eat or drink anything. We're scared. Or if I eat, for example, at iftari time, when we are allowed to eat, we think, what should I eat now? Oh, I don't want to eat too much. Because if I eat too much now, then I won't be able to eat at suhoor, at sahri time. And look how Allah has made a pattern and a limit that you can only eat so much and feed so much. Allahu Akbar. So look at the akal now. For example, Allah says that we fasted. We sat here now to remember Allah, to feed the soul. Then Allah says, after iftar, soon after you'll be stood for tarawih. And I have this good thinking and feeling of everybody sitting here. Now after iftari, maghrib, you'll go home. And someone have said, they say, oh, it's okay, don't go to tarawih today. Don't. You will not stop your ruh. They'll say, it's not fard. You will not listen to anyone. Will you stop, Haji sir? You will say, no, slap in the face, whether it's daughter, father, whoever. If they say, leave tarawih, don't. You'll say, don't tell me this. Don't give me bad advice. I'm going to tarawih. How can you tell me not to go? Will any one of you stop and not go to tarawih? How hard it is. That same routine, just for Isha, you're being called for 4 fard, yes, for 3 witr, and we don't go towards Salah during the year, the other months of the year, because we have not fed our ruh at that time. We haven't nourished it, we haven't strengthened it, our soul. But today we have strengthened our soul, is making us do tilawah of Quran, listen to dhikr, we've prayed tarawih in the masjid, then we'll wake up all night long, then it will make us pray fajr again, and with a lot of passion and desire, we'll do this because we fed our ruh, we fed our soul. We gave it food and nourishment and strength for one day during the fast. And then the ruh responds, our soul responds with all of these ibadat. So let's understand it. Let's understand this point. It's good if we do. We've wasted our life before this maybe. But now let's go forward. Yes? Because we're throwing our life away if we don't understand that it's our soul that will assist us throughout the whole journey of life. So let's promise to ourselves that let's go to a chef, a master chef. Yeah, you understand who's a master chef? If you say, who's somebody cooks good? How do you make palak, gosht, spinach, meat? I won't talk too much about dishes because you'll feel hungry at this time. So to feed the soul, go to the master chef who knows about the soul and he knows the different dishes. What is the breakfast for the soul? What's the best feed for the soul in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening? When you meet this chef, he will give you such a beautiful menu from breakfast until dinner that your ruh, your soul will be so fresh. Because the chef, the master chef is the sheikh. The sheikh, the teacher who gives you advice on how to feed your ruh. Does he give you anything else? He doesn't give you material things or money or wealth. No, nothing else. Rather, they tell you how to feed your ruh, your soul, how to strengthen your ruh. And beautiful fragrances emanate from your character, from your soul, from your body. And these are called the sheikhs, the mashaykh, who are the master chefs of the ruh, the soul. We run from them. Look how many will be stood at the restaurant now, physical restaurant in the world today. The moment to buy a takeaway or food. We run to the takeaway. Why don't we go to the master chef of the soul? They are there in the world, the friends of Allah, the mashaykh, Allah Ta'ala put Mubarak for the people who have come here, those individuals who have come to this gathering, this masjid, and those who go to the walis of Allah, to Mashaykh, and say, please give me something that I can strengthen my ruh, my soul. You've come here for feed, isn't it? For your soul, to strengthen your ruh. That's what you've come for, isn't it? Not for bread or food. Because when you go to the khanka, the real khankas, you don't hear or smell the food of pilau rice or sweet rice. The false khankas, you can smell food there, curry and dishes. And but in the real khanka, you get water, dried bread. There's no physical food, but there's food and energy for the soul, for the ruh, that all night long you'll say, Allah, Allah, Allah. And this is the khanqa. And the kitchen is also unique. The kitchen, yes, it's a unique. From there you see the beautiful dishes that are prepared for the ruh, for the soul. So my brothers, this is a serious matter. A message Allah Ta'ala has given to us in Ramadan, that we need to understand that our life in this world and the next will succeed based on the strength of our souls, not our bodies. Now our pious elders have mentioned three important actions that will strengthen and feed our ruh. Shall I explain to you? Because our ruh is waiting. First promise that you'll do amal on this, inshallah. So is this a strong, solid promise? Yes, true promise. Whoever's listening, wherever you're listening, I'm asking everyone to promise. And that's why I'm speaking. So there are three things that are mentioned here. The three different forms of nourishment and strength and energy for the ruh. Supplements for the ruh, you could say. So now we are human beings. We are not angels, are we? So there are three things here that we need to take away as nourishment, supplement for the ruh. So we make mistakes, we sin. And whenever a person makes a mistake, whenever, this is principle number one. Hey, this is now the food and the strength and energy, the nourishment for the ruh that I'm giving to you, so that your ruh, your soul strengthens. So whenever a human being, this is point number one, makes a mistake, you swear at someone, you get angry, you say wrong things to others. And I'm not talking about the big sins, just normal sins. Everyday sins. If we want to feed our soul at that time when we made a mistake, then do istighfar. What do we do? Istighfar, istighfar, istighfar. And don't delay for a minute. Say istighfar straight away. Oh Allah, forgive me. Doesn't matter if shaitan comes and he influences us. No, he's saying this to me. This person said bad to me. He says, no, you say istighfar. You're not the same as others. There's a difference between you and those others. Why? Because you have taken the sweet from the chef. From the masjid, when you are comparing with people, oh, he's fighting with me, he's hitting me, or she slapped me, or he sweared at me, or she sweared at me, and you're swearing back. No, no. Straight away, what do? If there's anger coming out, or you said something out of anger, go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah. Pay tawajjah to Allah. Allah says in the Quran, when the people become distressed, when difficulties come to them, who do they turn to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this maqam, what is the method to turn to Allah? What should we do? What should we do? When we make a mistake, say loudly, astaghfar. Astaghfar. And suddenly your ruh will get energy and you will overcome the negative factors. And the enemy will not lose and you will win. Because your soul is being strengthened, nourished with the supplement, energy, food. Second point, to give food and energy to the soul. That just like Allah Ta'ala says, He's given us life, is a ni'mah. This life is a blessing. This dunya is a ni'mah. Deen is a ni'mah. Both are ni'mah with the fadl of Allah. Dunya and deen Allah Ta'ala gives to people. Everything in this world and the hereafter. So if we get the ni'mah of Allah, from Allah, then what should we do at that time? We should feed the soul again. Strengthen the soul with energy, food, supplement, nourishment. Whenever we get a ni'mah in this world, anything, straight away do the shukr of Allah. Pay gratitude, be grateful to Allah. If you make a sin, a mistake, istighfar, point number one. Point number two, when we get a ni'mah, we are happy, we forget Allah that someone's given us this. We start kissing the man's hand. Oh, you gave me £50. Oh, you gave me wealth and you assisted me in the world and you favored me. You did this for me. Forget everyone at that time. That the ni'mah is not the human beings who've given, it's a power. There's a force behind that. And go to your Rabb, turn to your Rabb, creator, say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, it's you who has given me everything. It's you. Oh Allah, your ruh straight away will get strength with the fadl of Allah. With the fadl of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the first point is what? That istighfar on the mistakes. Number two, Alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah when we get ni'mas. So when we make a sin, when we commit a sin, a mistake, do istighfar. And then secondly, ni'mas every day we get ni'mah. We are eating, ni'mah of Allah, talking, ni'mah of Allah. Quarrels at home, no quarrels at home, ni'mah. You look at your children, ni'mas. There is no limit. Allah says there is no limit to the ni'mas, the gifts and the favors of mine, of me upon you. Even if you say Alhamdulillah all day long, you cannot repay my favor. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Say it now, isn't it? There's no current. No energy, electricity passing through you. At least praise your Lord now. The beautiful things I'm telling you today. Have you heard these points today? From today, how many Ramadans you have passed? Have you heard these points? Has anyone explained to you about fasting, how to pass the fast and nourish the soul? SubhanAllah. So we should say, SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is on us. In which style and manner Allah Ta'ala has explained to us, He's explained to us, made us understand that, for example, I've not before today heard these points, understood these points. So now, the third point, the third factor. How do we energize, nourish and feed our souls? First is the istighfar. Second is shukr to Allah. Be grateful to Allah. And third is Rabb. Do dhikr of remembrance of our Lord. The dhikr of our Rabb. To remembrance our Lord. So if we commit to sin, point number one is istighfar. If we get the ni'mas of Allah, the gifts from Allah in the world, we'll say Alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah. And third, we will remember Allah, dhikr. And now we don't see, am I getting a ni'mah, I do shukr to Allah, or if I sinned, I do istighfar. Dhikr, with regards to dhikr, whether you have a chance or not, Allah Ta'ala says, remember me all the time, kathiran kathira, in abundance, without any limit. What do we need for this? Yes, that even if you feel like it or you don't feel like it, whether the conditions in your life are positive or negative, whether your heart feels like it or it doesn't feel like it, whether there's a chance or there is not a chance, whether your heart feels like it or not, whether your mind or your feelings or emotions allow you to do this or not, etc. But we don't distinguish. We are just going to do dhikr, come what may. Dhikr is not dependent on your physical well-being or a physical location or a certain form of enjoyment or taste. You're not doing it for thawab. We're not doing dhikr for any end product, for any reason. We are doing dhikr for one reason, that Allah Ta'ala has ordered me. I have to remember Allah. I'm Allah Ta'ala's slave and servant. I'm remembering my Lord. That's it. Why are you remembering Allah? Why are you doing dhikr? Allah has ordered me. He's my creator, the khaliq, the malik, the owner, the controller. And He has ordered me to remember Him. That's it. So we do dhikr for no precondition, no reason, no gift, no reward, no end product. We are doing dhikr. Allah says, the person who does dhikr is a sign of my servanthood. If you want to see my servant, my slave, don't look at anyone. That person, he or she who's doing my dhikr, Allah says, that person is my servant. Allah Ta'ala says, that woman who's doing dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has given this report to the angels. The angels descend from the heavens to the earth. Allah Ta'ala has given them a sign that if you want to seek my servants on the face of the earth, women, men, she or he, females or males, those people who remember me, Allah Ta'ala says, they are my servants because they are following my hukum. They are implementing my hukum. They have no greed. I want to become a wali and I will be this and I will get rewards and gifts and this much thawab. Allah Ta'ala says, they will forget everything. They have so much taste in one thing that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this and I'm fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's order. Allah Ta'ala has ordered me, directed me, and in this enjoyment and taste, the person does dhikr Allah. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. So here's one thing for the dhikr of Allah. We don't do it for taste, enjoyment, etc. Nothing. No, no. There's nothing preventing us. We should remember Allah all the time. All the time. How do we remember Allah? How? That whilst we're remembering Allah, that even if the tongue is tired, we remember Allah. If the hand is tired of doing the tasbih with the rosary beads, still remember Allah. If our tongue is doing talawah, recitation is tired, even then we remember Allah. If we prostrate so many times and our foreheads are tired, our heads are tired, even then we do dhikr of Allah. Even if the body is tired, even then we do dhikr of Allah. How should we remember you if all the parts of the body are tired? This is tired, that is tired. So many opportunities will be wasted. You've said, do my dhikr all the time. Allah says, remember me in your hearts. In your heart, the heart does not tire. Has the heart ever tired? Become tired? No, the heart doesn't get tired. It does its function. Tuck, tuck, Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. So either we go from the world with the heart empty. And sometimes, for example, you're sending a message, an email or a text, SMS, and somebody, the receiver, receives a blank message. He says, you've sent me a blank message. There's nothing written. Same way the heart is, say, SubhanAllah. It's a beautiful point. We learn it. The heart is in the same state. If we spend our lives and the heart is beating, we're saying, Allah, 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 then the message is going up to the heavens. Allah. And if with the heartbeat there's no Allah, then you're sending a blank message and you'll get no reward in the akhirah. No reward in the hereafter. This is how much Allah Ta'ala has kept the connection, rabt. Allah has made a connection between His servant and Himself. Imagine the connection, the rabt. The connection, Allah has made such a great connection between His servant, the human beings, and Allah Ta'ala says, between myself. That one breath of a human being doesn't get wasted. It should not leave our bodies with a blank, with nothing written in it. That's why the Sufis say that the ghafil, the negligent person, he will not attain anything. This is not the shan of a mu'min, the status of a believer, that one breath should not be exhaled without Allah's name. Otherwise, we don't have iman. And the blank check will be sent forward to thereafter. Look at the link I have with Allah. I have not said Allah with one breath. With one breath say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. The people of the dunya need to understand this point. Allah Ta'ala says, Wasbiru nafsika, that foolish people, remember me with your hearts. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this point, the tariqah is given to us. Now remember me from the depths of your hearts. The heart is such an organ that it will keep a connection with me all the time. With every beat of the heart that you are feeding your heart, your soul, you put a drip onto your heart. SubhanAllah says, I put a drip that continues to function with the drip of the name of Allah. If you see, for example, that you may not have gone, that those people have gone who have been and those who will go, that when sometimes, for example, you go to the hospital and you have the test, the ECG, and they put the stickers, the pads onto the chest and the wire, and it's connected to the meter, and that's connected to the screen, and you see the output, the graph, and it's going up and down, up and down, up and down. Allah says that everyone's the same boat at that time. Those who have iman and those who have no iman, remember this point. That those, the report that's going, everyone's heart is beating as well, every human being. But the person who's not remembering Allah, it's going with a blank. There's nothing there. It's so sad to understand this point, that the person who has iman and he doesn't remember Allah, he's sending the heartbeats with an empty space. There's nothing there. There's no dhikr of Allah. So the 3 points we need to understand, these three items of food and nourishment for the ruh, for the soul. Then if we do this, we'll see what maqam and qurb and nearness we will attain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll see that our ruh will allow us to travel on a beautiful journey. We say, I don't see a dream. Someone sees spiders and insects and jinn. Someone's being strangled in a dream. Someone's running away from the lion. People are seeing danger and he's died and there's a fight and a quarrel. This is what people see in dreams, isn't it? But when a person's feeding his soul, and the soul is fully nourished and it's attained its feed, then the dreams are beautiful spiritual dreams that a person sees. And there are mulaqat, and there are meetings with great people in your dream. The ruh is a beautiful thing. The body is useless. It doesn't allow us to do anything. It just makes us sleep. The more you feed your ruh, your soul, the more you will go to sleep. The more you feed your body, then it will make you lazy and negligent. But subhanAllah, the more you feed your ruh, your soul, the more you will travel high into the heavens, into the beautiful output you will attain. Anyway, the topic is brilliant. It's enjoyable. I feel like speaking more. We are in the state of fasting. But alhamdulillah, we will do a bit of dhikr now. We will feed our soul. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And I invite the brothers. Alhamdulillah, everyone's here. There's nobody new here. Everybody's aware that learn the dhikr of your heart. Otherwise, your heartbeats will leave your body with emptiness, hollow, blank. Don't keep your heart ghafil, negligent for a second. Don't speak waste of time words and discussions and say, oh, my heart is not feeling good. Let's leave the nonsense. The person who has learned the dhikr through the finger of the sheikh on the heart, this is the biggest lesson. Walking, traveling, working. Allah Ta'ala has not told us to leave work. Make this lesson so strong that our heart is always beating with the name of Allah. Brothers, so let's not speak nonsense. I don't understand how to do dhikr of the heart. It's not giving me benefit. We're wasting time. Those who've learned dhikr of the heart and are not doing it, they're wasting their time. And those who haven't learned it, they make your life and your hereafter. And learn this dhikr from me. Otherwise, you will lose out. Don't be ashamed, embarrassed, don't waste your time. The person who's ashamed, embarrassed, has lost out. So clearly, I've given you the sketch, the framework of the dhikr of Allah, that how great is the dhikr of Allah. And how beneficial. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Ameen.